From the nation's capital, this is D.C. Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. The title for today's program is An Action Plan for Reentry in Washington, D.C. There's going to be a meeting on Thursday, February 9th at the Old City Council Chamber, 441 4th Street, from 6 to 8 p.m. There'll be information on the website for the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, www.cjcc.dc.gov. I'll give that out several times throughout the course of the program. And what we're looking at today, ladies and gentlemen, is the Reentry Committee's report. The Reentry Committee from the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council created a series of recommendations, and we're here today to talk about those recommendations. We have three principals with us today. Cedric Hendricks, the Associate Director of my agency, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. We have Charles Thornton, the Director of the Office on Returning Citizen Affairs, and we have Chris Shorter, Chief of Staff, Department of Youth and Rehabilitation Services. And gentlemen, welcome to D.C. Public Safety.
Thank you very much.
Cedric, give us an overview of the work of the council, please.
Well, we have the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, which is a body that consists of all of the principals from the criminal justice agencies of the District of Columbia, and that's the federal agencies as well as the District of Columbia governmental agencies. And one of the working committees of the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council is the Reentry Steering Committee, and it has been co-chaired by myself and Charles Thornton. Now, most significantly, in December of 2010, our steering committee convened a citywide reentry strategic planning summit and pulled together citizens from across the District of Columbia, along with government representatives, faith community representatives, and we launched into a discussion of reentry and attempted to identify the challenges associated with it that needed to be addressed in order to create an environment in the District of Columbia where more men and women could successfully return home from prison. So the outgrowth of that effort was the formation of a number of working groups to address the action items that emerged from that summit meeting. Those work groups were in the areas of health care, education and training, housing, health care, and juvenile reentry. And a year later, we are at the point where we have, I wouldn't say completed the work of those groups, but we have produced a report and some work product that we're ready to share with the larger community. So the event that we are hosting on February 9th provides us with the opportunity to present our report and recommendations to the citizens of the District of Columbia.
And again, I want to remind everybody, February 9th at the Old City Council Chamber, 441 4th Street, from 6 to 8 p.m. Again, information on the website of the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, www.cjcc.dc.gov. Charles Thornton, you lead the effort in terms of people coming back from the prison system into the District of Columbia. What is your take on all this?
Well, again, as Cedric was saying, we reached out across the city and brought in, the faith community, residents of the District of Columbia, people who are concerned about reentry in the city, and convened this this symposium. And again, out of that symposium, we came up with five working groups who we work on, creating recommendations to move forward as a plan of action, which will be the reentry plan for the District of Columbia. So involved in that plan is, the district agencies, federal government agencies, as well as community partners.
Mm-hmm. And let me just point out that those community partners include returning citizens.
Absolutely.
Right. So it includes the people who have returned from prison.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's those who have a huge impact on the, and we've specifically reached out to successful reentrants who have come back and have successfully reentered society. So, we want to kind of look at looking at success and duplicating success, and that's kind of one of the recommendations that came out of the employment work group.
Okay. Chris Shorter, the Chief of Staff, Department of Youth and Rehabilitation Services, what is your take on all this?
Well, let me say first that I was extremely excited to be approached to co-chair such an important work group. I co-chaired the work group for juvenile reentry with Fannie Barksdale, who is the deputy director for court social services.
Mm-hmm.
We had an array of representatives from federal and district agencies in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, court social services, the Department of Youth Rehabilitation Services, but also the Department of Health, the Office of the State Superintendent of Education,
mm-hmm.
the Department of Mental Health, the Public Defender Service, and, of course, representatives from the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very exciting work group. Everyone there participated, and the agencies represented had a stake in reentry for juveniles in the district.
Mm-hmm.
The work group held focus groups with youth, families, case managers, probation officers, and they all had a lot to say about juvenile reentry in the district and how to return young people in a way that benefits the community and benefits them. I'm excited about the recommendations and excited to continue the work of the work group.
Okay, so the whole idea between the three of you is that everybody in the entire city has gotten together, the federal agencies, the D.C. agencies, the returning citizens, everybody, the faith-based community, everybody plays a piece in this. We have an action plan moving forward. What are some of those recommendations?
Well, in the employment work group, some of the recommendations, and that committee was co-chaired by Charles Jones from the Department of Employment Services.
Mm-hmm.
He brought a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of experience to
mm-hmm.
this process. But in reference to the recommendations, one of the recommendations was that we need to definitely market the benefits of hiring returning citizens
sure.
to the you know, to the community.
Right.
You know, and when I say the community, I'm speaking directly to the business community.
Mm-hmm.
The community that hire, you know, in the District of Columbia. There are laws that have been in the book that we haven't been taking advantage of, tax credits. You know, there's been, again, tax credits that are available for hiring,
mm-hmm.
returning citizens. There are also laws for
bonding.
Well, there's a bonding program, right?
Bonding program.
Right.
So, and it's, again, it's educating the public, but more importantly also arming the returning citizen with this information.
Sure.
So when they go for interviews, they have it.
So the whole idea is to be sure that the business community, everybody understands that there are very definite benefits in terms of hiring people who are out of the prison system, hiring people under our supervision.
Absolutely.
Okay, what else, gentlemen?
Well, let me just add on to what Charles was saying, because one of the other recommendations was for the creation of a model training program. And I should say that a couple of years ago, we had what I considered to be a stellar model employment training program that was focused on returning citizens. It was called the Hospitality Training and Internship Program.
Mm-hmm.
And there you had a collaboration of the federal government with the local government and the business community working to try and prepare people for employment opportunities in the hospitality industry. Specifically, you had individuals who were recruited from the halfway houses, and that's the Hope Village Halfway House for men and the Fairview Halfway House for women. And the recruiting was done with the assistance of the Bureau of Prisons and the halfway house staff. And then they were moved into a program that was 5 months in duration. The first 2 months of the program involved classroom instruction that was provided by the University of the District of Columbia, and the site for that was the Hospitality Public Charter School. And after the 2 months of classroom instruction, the individuals were tested, and if they passed the test, they received a certification universally recognized by the hospitality industry. Now, following that, they would enter into a three-month internship at a work site within the hospitality industry. All the while they were participating, and that's for the entire 5 months, they would receive a stipend that was provided by the D.C. Department of Employment Services. So that enabled them to sustain themselves through this training experience. You had, of course, CSOSA involved, because many of the individuals, after leaving the halfway house, came to us for supervision. The Hotel Association of Washington, D.C. was a participant in this and attempted early on to identify hotels that could provide training venues for the internships. That program was funded for just 1 year, and we were able to move 60 individuals through it with mm-hmm. some success. I would like to see a program like that replicated either in the hospitality industry or some other employment sector, because again, what it represented was total collaboration and ultimately a successful outcome.
And I would imagine the work of the Reentry Steering Committee, the whole idea, the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, the whole idea is to do more of that. The whole idea is to gain more partnerships within the business community, more partnerships across the board to try to gain employment and training for as many people coming out of the prison system as humanly possible. So that is the whole idea, correct?
Absolutely. And I would say that that's the case for adults and for juveniles.
Right.
What we found during the first 6 months of our work together as a working group, and that's the Juvenile Reentry Working Group, 166 young people returned from out-of-state residential treatment centers.
Mm-hmm.
Of that 166 youth, we found that they were returning to independent living, returning from residential treatment centers to independent living programs, mm-hmm. to group homes, to foster care homes. But the great majority, in fact, 49% of that 166 were returning home.
Right.
So it became very important in our recommendations that we articulated the types of services and supports that young people needed. That's including workforce development, education, and housing. So for us, our recommendations centered around all of those young people that are coming home, and it's a great number.
But we have economic issues within the District of Columbia, as we do throughout the country. So I would imagine, once again, the whole idea behind the work of the committee is to gather in as many people as humanly possible to create the partnerships to overcome obstacles of budget. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely.
And then another thing that's important, too, is education and training. I mean, we had a work group that addressed that, but the another deficit that we have to overcome is the skill deficit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order for folks who have criminal histories to compete for employment, they've got to have skills that are valuable or marketable in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're challenged in that, for example, I think it's 36% of the clients that we have under supervision do not have diplomas or GEDs,
mm-hmm.
which is not a good thing in a knowledge-driven labor market like this one.
Right.
And while we can certainly assist people with that, you still need more in order to compete. The benefit of that hospitality training program was that people got a certification. There was some documented recognition,
right,
of your acquisition of knowledge and skills. And we need to pursue more of that. One of the other great programs that I think serves as a model in this town is DC Central Kitchen, where they are right now, for example, recruiting for yet another class in culinary arts that, mm-hmm. begin in April. We have a great number of our clients who have successfully migrated through the DC Central Kitchen training program and have gotten jobs in the restaurant industry around here. So, you know, that program is a rigorous one. It's a couple of months in duration. During the course of that, you do a couple of weeks at a restaurant perfecting your skills. And then I think they have over an 80% placement rate,
mm-hmm.
For their graduates. So that's really where I think we need to invest ourselves in the future, in identifying employment sectors that are open to considering individuals with criminal histories, and then making sure we understand the skill sets that are required for entry into those occupational sectors, and then doing our utmost, working in conjunction with the other governmental partners, the faith community, and the private sector to prepare more and more people to kind of go out here and compete for knowledge-driven or skill-based jobs.
The bottom line, I think all of us would agree, is that the research is pretty clear. The more individuals are hired, the less they recidivate, the less they call society. The vast majority are parents, so they're in a position of taking care of their kids. I mean, this is a win-win situation for everybody. It's just getting through the barriers and creating more opportunities.
Well, let me just say, one of the products of the committee's work was that in the report you will find a listing of employment and training programs that are well, education and training programs that are available in the District of Columbia. There are lots of them. But what we also set out here are the age requirements, basically what one needs to know to get into these programs and who's responsible for funding these programs. In fact, another important product, and this is going to take us into another area that our colleagues on the committee worked on, is housing. There is a listing of housing resources in this report as well that will be extremely useful to returning citizens as well as individuals at agencies like ours who are charged with assisting them to address their abundant needs.
We're more than halfway through the program. Let me reintroduce our guest, Cedric Hendricks, Associate Director of the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. My agency, Charles Thornton, the Director of the Office on Returning Citizens, and Charles Shorter, the Chief of Staff of the Department of Youth Rehabilitation Services. We're talking about a meeting that's going to take place on February 9th at the Old City Council Chamber, 441 4th Street, from 6 to 8 p.m. Information can be found at www.cjcc.dc.gov, www.cjcc.dc.gov. It's the Reentry Steering Committee report from the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council. All right, gentlemen, will people be allowed to discuss these findings with you, debate the findings with you? We're encouraging the public to come to this?
Absolutely. It's okay. Absolutely open to the public, and we are looking forward to sort of having an open discussion about
right.
what we found. To add to what Cedric just mentioned as far as the final report, there are a number of resources in the report that are going to be helpful, not just to citizens, but also to practitioners. So part of what I mentioned earlier about us having focus groups with case managers and probation officers dealing with juveniles is just what Cedric mentioned. They need resources. They need to be able to refer young people to housing, education, workforce development programs. What we found in our work is that young people returning either back into the district or returning from group homes and other out-of-home placements back home, there are a lot of great needs.
Mm-hmm.
And those needs are mental health. Those needs are housing. Those needs are education. So how we establish appropriate linkages is extremely important. Another resource that's in the final report is just a full description of the reentry system that's currently in place in the district,
mm-hmm.
what kinds of programs and services are available to young people and to their parents. Another very important aspect of the work that we did was the focus groups. So
mm-hmm.
what we learned from parents and from case managers and probation officers, and to some extent from the youth that we spoke to, is that youth are sent away. They are expected to go through a transformation,
right?
A treatment transformation. They return home in a different place, but if we're not working with parents and if we're not working with their community, the community isn't prepared. The family isn't prepared. The
mm-hmm.
home isn't ready for this young person.
There's got to be a seamless transition from a facility or from a group home back into the community. There should be services waiting for that individual, and those services should be seamless. They should flow evenly from wherever he was before or she was before back into the District of Columbia,
That's
correct?
Absolutely right.
And on that point, you know, we had a work group to focus on health care, and that is an area where continuity of care becomes extremely important. And in order to facilitate continuity of care, there's got to be communication between the releasing institutions and community-based care providers. Unity Healthcare, which is a major local health care provider in the city, related to us that they, at their reentry healthcare center, time in again, see individuals coming there who don't have their medical records
mm-hmm.
from the time that they were incarcerated, who are presenting with various urgent medical needs. And in order for Unity to get the records of that person's prior treatment, they have heretofore had to file a Freedom of Information Act request with the Bureau of Prisons,
mm-hmm.
which is a very time-consuming thing to undertake. And, of course, that delay adversely affects their ability to provide responsive and timely care. What was worked out through the dialogue that occurred through our health work group was that Unity And the Bureau of Prisons sat down and worked out an arrangement whereby if Unity has a signed release of information from an individual, it can be transmitted to the Mid-Atlantic Regional Office of the Bureau of Prisons, and then a person there can secure the records, the medical records that are necessary, and then transmit them directly back to the point of contact at Unity. So it is something that is saving a lot of time and helping to advance the delivery of health care to individuals who have come home with health care needs. We are continuing the discussions with the Bureau of Prisons around health-related information sharing so that agencies like CSOSA, which is responsible for community supervision and has to often make referrals for medical or mental health services, we can get the information that we need, the medical records that we need in order to make appropriate referrals. So there are accomplishments, but yet there is work remaining to be done. And that's, I think, the message of the event on the 9th, that we have worked a year. We have completed some things. We got some deliverables that are on the table that people can put to work right now. But there's more work that we've identified that needs to be done. And our hope is that there will be more individuals that will step up to deploy and join us in this work effort as we go forward.
Well, let me ask about the philosophy of that. If everybody did step up, I mean, within existing resources, if everybody did step up, if you had cooperation across the board, the bottom line of what we're talking about is reduced recidivism. Once again, fewer crimes, just a dramatic reduction in terms of the money that we spent on this issue, a safer city. I mean, that's the bottom line. If everybody got together and cooperated, that would be the result, correct?
That's absolutely right. In fact, I mean, and I'm very proud to say that that DURS has a very robust partnership with dozens of community-based service providers or nonprofits that provide mentoring, tutoring, monitoring, educational supportive services that we refer to as DC Youth Link. Initiative is led by or in partnership with Progressive Life Center and the East of the River Clergy Police Community Partnership. And so we work with both those organizations to broker services throughout all of the wards in the District of Columbia for young people who are committed to DURS. So this is one part of that partnership and this collaboration where we're not just talking about or relying on government to provide all those services, but we're saying to the community, we understand that young people coming back home must come back to their communities. You know them, you know their communities, and we would like to work with you to provide those services and support.
And it's the same with us in terms of the power of mentoring with the faith-based program within CSOSA. The whole idea of the mosques, church, synagogues. You're talking about literally hundreds of people, lots of churches, lots of religious organizations coming together to help individuals coming out of the prison system, providing that direct one-on-one mentoring that is so necessary for so many people to cross the bridge. Yet that's another example. So we're looking for business. We're looking for the faith community. We're looking for government. We're looking for everybody across the board to join the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council in this effort,
well,
correct?
Let me just say, you know, Charles Thornton's Office of Returning Citizens Affairs just hosted a wonderful community event where he recognized a whole host of community partners that have stepped forward to assist returning citizens. You want to talk about that, Charles?
Absolutely. And that was the goal of that forum, was to bring in all of these partners, community partners who have been doing this work for years and just recognize them. Because one of the things we do know is that it's going to take all of the resources that we've just been talking about to put a dent into this.
Sure.
You know, one of the things I want to go back to in reference to the recommendations, some of the recommendations that have came out we've already begun to work on. For example, in the employment work group, we came up with a recommendation that there needs to be some form of coordination with the BOP institutions. Well, we found that in most cases, we had individuals, adults coming back to the city from institutions that just was not aware of, one, the resources that are in the city, and two, that there was no collaboration from Michigan or wherever with the businesses in the district. So people were coming back really cold. So what the recommendation was that, you know, we need to really reach out to the BOP facilities as well as some of the contract facilities where our men and women are staying and see exactly what is available in those institutions and link them up, you know, with what's available in the district in terms of the job market.
I do want to clarify that for the people outside of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, that individuals within the District of Columbia, D.C. code offenders, they are sentenced to federal prison. So they go to federal prisons literally spread throughout the country, in some cases thousands of miles away. So the coordinating their reentry back to the District of Columbia is a daunting task.
Right, but Charles, for example, just led a couple of road trips to some facilities. Why don't you talk about that, brother?
And that's, again, as part of the recommendation. So as part of establishing those relationships, what we found is that in some cases we have to go out to the institutions. So we put together a resource team and an outreach team.
Mm-hmm.
And what those teams done, and they're made up of, you know, returning citizens, some business owners, returning citizens. And what we did was we went out to a couple of the contract institutions and a few BOP institutions and went to them as opposed to them coming to us. And we did a resource day. And we went up there, and the goal was to give individuals 90 days to less in terms of on their way home a real snapshot of what's here in the district and what to expect. And we brought some of those resources with us, so you can sign up right there. For example, the Culinary Kitchen went out on a couple of the road trips with us, and so we find we have to be creative like that.
We only have a couple minutes left. Gentlemen, major recommendations that we haven't gotten to yet?
Well, let me just underscore that the areas of great challenge lie in housing, health care, education, and employment. And so we need to develop kind of a robust base of support in each and every one of those areas. As I've mentioned, we've done some things. We've produced some products that are going to be helpful in informing individuals about the resources that are out here. But while there are service providers out here offering resources, there just aren't enough. In the housing arena, for example, day in and day out, we're all confronted with individuals who have come home and have nowhere to go. At CSOSA, we say that on any given day, we have 800 of our clients living in the homeless shelters in the District of Columbia. These are individuals that can't go home for various reasons, don't have the financial resources to get their own place, yet living in a shelter really does not provide the kind of support one needs to successfully reintegrate back into the community. So we need more transitional housing resources, but resources like that cost money.
Sure. It's a daunting task. Charles, please.
Yes, I wanted to go into, again, the going out into the institutions, and I will add that, you know, we just recently had the mayor sign off on two individuals that will make up part of the CIC, which is the Correctional Institution Council, which task is to go out and, you know, go out to BOP prisons and, you know, and do a report on actually what those prisons are offering district residents who are staying there. So the mayor sent up his two nominees to the council, and we're waiting on the council's one, so we'll have that commission formed.
Okay, we have 30 seconds. Final thoughts.
Well, for the juvenile reentry group, and the reason that I was so excited to participate with Cedric on this effort, is the jurisdictions that are having the most success with juvenile reentry are jurisdictions that collaborate. And so I'm extremely excited that we are all collaborating in this way, Court Social Services, CSOSA, and others, to do a better job with reentry.
And the bottom line behind that collaboration comes on Thursday, February 9th at the Old City Council Chamber, 441 4th Street, from 6 to 8 p.m. You're going to find information about this event on the website of the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, www.cjcc.dc.gov, www.cjcc.dc.gov. Ladies and gentlemen, this is D.C. Public Safety. Our guests today have been Cedric Hendricks, Associate Director of Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, Charles Thornton, the Director of the Office of Returning Citizens, and Chris Shorter, Chief of Staff, Department of Youth Rehabilitation Services. We appreciate your calls, letters. We appreciate your emails, your comments, your criticisms, and please have yourselves a
and
very, very pleasant
day. Please come out on
day.
February 9th.
That's right.
Please come out.
Thank you.